So I'm doing that 5 years now, and it's brought me on a really personal journey because it made me really rethink how I view health and wellness. I thought it was all about restricting your calories and punishing yourself in the gym, but I have been exposed to so many different ideals that I had to really put into practice everything that I was listening to.
Welcome to the Social Fabric podcast with me, Andrea Splendori. And this week, my guest is Claire McKenna. Claire is a broadcaster and a health coach. And in this episode, she kindly shares some of her life story. For more information and more episodes, please visit socialfabric.ie. The music in this podcast has been shortened for rights reasons. The title tune is Happy and Shining by The Roundabouters. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share, and review. It's the only way podcasts like this have a chance to survive.
Okay.
You're ready.
Yep.
Great. So, Claire, first of all, thank you so much for being here and taking time out of your busy schedule, I'm sure. And for those few people that might not recognize your voice and might not know who you are, how would you introduce yourself? If we were out at a party, you and I would just say, this is a friend of mine, Claire, how would you introduce yourself?
Well, there are plenty of people, I'm sure, who don't know me, which is nice. I get to live a little incognito. I don't think I could hack it if everybody knew my name, face and voice. I am a broadcaster. That's the umbrella title I often use. I've worked in radio and TV for the past 20 years. And I suppose over the last little while, that's sort of become more about podcasting and social media. But originally, that was what I set out to do, be a radio and TV presenter. And I've been doing that.
Brilliant. And so let's go back a little bit, just because we met a couple of times. We met a few times, but never really had a proper chat. We had a chat the first time we met, but I didn't have a clue who you were. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm not very good. I didn't know who you were.
You mean news did not reach you in Rome of me growing up? I'm shocked. No, I mean, look, I'm very low key, so I totally get it. No, and for some reason at our two meetings, we never really got to talk. This is going to be our longest conversation, which I kind of like.
Brilliant. So tell me a bit more about how did you get into broadcasting? What was the main drive behind it 20 odd years ago?
Well, originally when I left school, I wanted to be an actress. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And the only things I really liked during school was speech and drama. I did that religiously after school and loved any kind of school play or anything. And English. So I just thought theatre studies, great, sign me up. So I did that for 2 years. But in those 2 years, I also moved out of home. I left home quite early. It's quite a big age gap between me and my brother and sister. It's just the way my parents, they struggled to have me for 5 years. Then I always say I was like Simba in The Lion King for 5 years. And then I had my brother and sister who I adore. But there was a bit of an age gap. So when I was kind of pushing for independence, there was still bath time and bedtime going on. So I left at about the age of 18 while I was at college. And I realized in that time, the truth of the big bad world. And my parents helped me out for the first year paying my rent. But after that, I was on my own as such. I mean, look, they've always been very supportive. But I realized that at the end of the 2 years study, I had to really ask myself, did I love acting enough to work in any theatre for any price? Because it was my passion. And was I willing to struggle on not knowing where it was all going to go? And the answer was no. So I actually went into the corporate world for about 5 years and worked in various marketing companies, even did a marketing degree at night. But there was one day in probably my third corporate job where I used to just sit clock watching for 5:30. And I just said, no, I was about 24 at that stage. And I just said, no, I don't want to do this. And I thought, I still want to perform in some way, but maybe I could just be myself. Maybe I don't have to be another character. So I quit my job, started working in a restaurant, and started knocking on radio station doors until somebody let me in.
Brilliant. I'll come back to the doors in a minute because that's an interesting story for sure. It's a very Irish thing. Like me coming from Rome, I was the black sheep that left the house, you know, at 22 or whatever. We just don't leave home, you know. In Italy, you just stay. Why would you go anywhere? But you at 18, you needed independence. Tell me a bit more about that. Okay, your brothers and sisters took your Simba status, but what else was there? What else do you needed independence for?
Well, my family, I'm very close to my family. I mean, in fact, we're living with my mom now at the moment. So it's not like there was any big rift, but we just fought all the time from, I can't even put a time on it, but I'd say from the age of 14 to 18, I just fought with them and just couldn't find common ground. So it was sort of a mutual decision as such. You know, something had to change. We couldn't keep going on like that. And once I had moved in with a girl I was going to college with, it did lift that. I had the freedom I craved. I could just come back and just meet them as still my parents, but just two other adults. And we could really work on our friendship. We didn't seem to be able to do that while I was living in the house. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of shoved it down and I was like, that's not a big deal. I had to leave home, if you want to paraphrase it in that way. And it took a while for me to kind of work through it. It did come back up for me at times because I suppose you always want to think that you can stay in your home forever, as you said. But no, we reached a point where like I had to go for them as well as me. And that was the truth of it.
When you moved in with your friend at, you know, 18, how would you describe yourself then? What were you like?
Messy, messy, all over the place, disorganized. Bedroom would be turned upside down. There'd be nothing hung up. And, you know, I see it now with my own kids. You just don't appreciate what's done for you until you leave. It's one of life's travesties. And I remember a moment where I was, you know, wiping down the kitchen because I'd still, my mum keeps a really clean, tidy house. Like she's just a brilliant homemaker. And I remember cleaning down the kitchen one day as she would. And I just thought, oh my God, my mum's amazing. And it kind of kicked in. But I was always late for college. I was always, you know, looking for an excuse as I handed something in. I was just that person. And I'd actually forgotten I was that person until recently enough. I'm still very good friends with a girl I went to college with, and her dad used to give us a lift. This is while I was still living at home. Her dad used to drive us on his way to school. But of course, at 17, 18, you don't appreciate that this is an adult with a job and a place to be. So I'd be running down to the bottom of the road to meet him. Sorry, 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 you know, Mr. Buckley, sorry. And he'd be jovial and we'd get on with it. And he died about a year ago and I was at the funeral and I met his wife and I said, oh, look, I'm so sorry. And, you know, I really loved him. And obviously I'd met him lots of times. He's from the village. I've met him a lot of times since and we'd always have time for each other. And I did truly have a place in my heart for him. And she said, oh, for God's sake, Claire. And she gave me a slap and she was like, you were the bane of his life, leaving him sitting at the bottom of that road every day. And I had forgotten her, like I'd forgotten that, Claire, because I'm quite efficient now. I'm quite honest. I set goals, I get them done. Like that's who I am. But that was certainly not who I was back then. And I had really forgotten about 18-year-old Claire and how messy she was.
Well, it's good to hear, and it's refreshing to hear because, just as a parent and watching your kids grow, and you have all these stages of life, and you do tend to blank out who you were, you know, at that stage. But you know, to hear that you went from that messy Claire to working in corporate for 5 years, and that you say something, you say you were watching the clock towards the end, you were just watching the time to go home. What did you remember? What was the best part of those 5 years in corporate?
Well, I loved that sense of purpose. I mean, I remember being so chuffed to have my own email address, you know, and that they were setting me up with this and my desk and the stationery cupboard. And, you know, everything was just like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And being part of a team and popping out for lunch and coming back and chatting around the table. Because the first place I worked was pretty cool. It was a marketing company. So you'd get to see pitches being made. You'd get to see graphic designers doing up ads for big car brands and people designing a whole campaign. And I did think it was really cool. And I loved that. And I only got it because my best friend worked on reception and she was invited into the company. And I just took her spot. And she was doing a business degree at night. So I just said, yeah, I like ads. I'll do a marketing degree. And that's kind of how it started. And I moved from there, to an internet company. And that was really had a massive impact on me because there was a lot of money in that company and they had a brilliant HR team and they used to do a lot of social events. So I made friends for life there and really had a great sense of belonging. It was a really fun place to go and work. And they sent us on a lot of positive thinking courses and personal development courses, whether it was team building or a lot of people up on stage saying things like, you can be whatever you want to be. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And that just set off sparks in my head. That just really spoke to me. There was a guy called Jack Black. He's a Scottish guy now, not the American actor, but he was so charismatic. And the way he spoke about what we can achieve in life, those trainings stayed with me and I think really made me jump and follow my dreams in the end. So that was an amazing place to work. Now, maybe because they spent all the money on these courses, they wound down. They finished up that company. They went into liquidation and I was kind of stuck. I was kind of at a crossroads. And one of the guys who had worked in sales had gone to work in another marketing company. And he said, look, the MD is looking for a PA. Would you be interested? And I thought, well, yeah, I'll give it a go. So that's the job I was working at. And I did love my boss, Liam. He was such a brilliant character, brilliant at his job, had built this big marketing company. And again, you were seeing different brands. And I do have a real interest in that sort of thing. And there was a lovely team working there of people. I did really enjoy it. But my job was really to sort of wait if he needed me for something. And, you know, if things were busy, and at one point he was looking after Mick McCarthy, who was the manager of the Ireland football team at the time, and Ireland got to the World Cup. That was all the Saipan Roy Keane era. And I used to be in charge of Mick McCarthy's corporate speaking diary and personal appearances here in Ireland. So that was fun and that was exciting. But if Liam was off at a meeting where he didn't need me to go with him, or if he was, you know, playing golf for the afternoon with clients or whatever he was doing, I would literally just be sitting at my desk waiting for something to happen. And I just got bored. I don't like to be bored. I like to be busy and I like to have stuff to do. And look, I don't know how good I was at being a PA. Like I'd bring in letters to him. And like he'd be proofreading them for me. And he'd be like, there's a typo here, Claire, there's a typo here. And I'd be like, oh, sorry, Liam. And we'd go again. I mean, I wasn't the world's best, but look, I was dependable. I was organized and I brought a bit of personality to the whole thing, but it wasn't necessarily my calling. So I think the boredom was probably a good thing because it made me reflect on what did I really want to do.
So before we move into the next stage that I'm curious about, tell me about your first song.
So
And
my
what is it?
first song is by Lauryn Hill, and it's from the album The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And I know that album inside out and backwards. And I was so lucky 5 years ago was her 20th anniversary, and she came to Dublin. And I got to go to the O2 and I went with the friends who I had hung around. They're still my friends now, but we had all been really into that album and we pretty much had a sing along with Lauren. And they performed the album exactly as it is. So even if anyone's familiar with it, there's bits of Classroom So they'd even play those little bits of classroom in between each song, and I just absolutely loved it. So it's a bit of a sad song, about love and love being a bit of a battlefield, but I could really choose any song from that album, and it just brings me right back. X Factor.
And it's a bit sad.
It's really sad. It's rumored to be about her relationship with, why can't I think of it, Wyclef Jean, and that apparently they were together and it just, for whatever reason, didn't work. And I always think Lauryn Hill is one of the most magnificent women I've ever come across. So I always seem to be Team Lauryn because I don't know how anybody would not want to be with her, but seemingly he did not. And sometimes love can be like that. Sometimes you can be with somebody and the initial is amazing, but then as things go on, it turns out you're both quite different, but it's very hard for people to let go because you're always trying to get back to how it was before, and that's what that whole song encapsulates. So I absolutely love it.
So you finish organizing the diary for Mick McCarthy, got a bit bored, said, okay, time to go and I'll knock on some doors. Where's the idea of the broadcasting and television? Where you know, you did mention that you wanted to perform as yourself as opposed to somebody else, you know, take another character. So but where did that came from, and where the idea came from? Because not everybody gets up in the morning, goes and knock on the radio station's doors.
Well, when I was a kid, my dad used to always get the camcorder out. Like, we have most of our childhood documented. They were moved from VHS to DVD, and I really need to digitize them. Otherwise, we're going to lose them. But there was always a camera around, whether we just had friends over in the back garden or a birthday party or a family holiday. So a lot of the time, I would do sort of TV presenting. There are lots of videos from me on a freezing cold beach down in Cork, saying, you know, here we are on our lovely holiday, and here's my sister's sandcastle, and here's this, and here's that. So I always had that. And if ever there was a power cut, my dad would get the big recorder with the tape deck, and we would record radio shows together. So I have all that footage, or a lot of it. And, you know, sometimes we would do ad breaks. So we might, you know, get a bottle of Coke and a glass, and we'd be saying, drink refreshing Coke. And then he might be interviewing me, or I might be interviewing him. And I just loved that. But I think when I left school, I mean, I either hadn't fully formulated the plan, or I didn't have enough self-confidence in myself. And I just didn't know at that stage. You're like, I like this. Like, I mean, I did a marketing degree because I liked ads. These were the kind of decisions that I was making back then. I was like, you know, I loved playing Princess Jasmine in Aladdin in the local hall at 16. Let's do theatre studies. But there must have been something in the background. And I do remember saying to myself at the desk, maybe I could just be myself. Maybe I could do it. Maybe I could go after, you know, radio and TV presenting. So yeah, it was probably just in there dormant, and it took a clock watching day at a desk to really say, no, go on. Oh, I'm going to give it a go.
I love that image of yourself and the family and your dad with the, you know, doing this radio station, you know, the McKenna, I don't know, was it the McKenna radio station? Where did your dad get the idea, the bug for? Well, is that what he was into?
My dad worked in insurance, so no, but my dad was a real performer. He died 3 years ago, but up until then, like, he would walk into a room and just light it up. Like, everybody would know who he was. He was just, the joker around the office. People would be sending him jokey things all on his desk because he was just up for fun, and he would always be the first to sing a song, the first to, get a party going. And we just have people in stitches laughing. So I suppose I kind of got it from him. He might not have been an official performer, but him and his two brothers used to go around with guitars singing, or if there was a wedding, I mean, they could be up for an hour. So he was always up for that and into that. So I suppose that's where I got it.
Brilliant. And so you start to knock on doors. Which one is the first one that opened?
So you have to look at your contacts, which is still something I use to this day. And the lovely girl, Brona, who I had moved in with while I was at college, she was now working in radio. So I went to her and I said, look, I think I'd like to give it a try. And she was really brilliant about it and said, look, I'll get you in. Come on into the newsroom. So I was just like rocking up for free on a Saturday and Sunday, willing to do whatever. So you get sent out obviously on the street a lot to gather vox pops. And, the newsroom is a busy place because there's an hour turnaround. And I know because I read news then for a little while, very quickly it's time for the next bulletin. So having someone hanging around wondering how to do things isn't great. But they were so lovely to me. Tina Gates was the newsreader there. She was really took me under her wing and spoke to me about how she was putting scripts together and would bring me in and I'd watch her present them out live. Johnny Lyons, he's since passed away. He was a huge character in the sports room. He was amazing. And we'd be talking about how to make a story sexy. And people were just really nice. And I was working in a restaurant and like it was tough going. Like the restaurant I worked in was really busy. There were a few managers who, like looking back now, I think were just a bit mean. And I used to just trudge home through the city centre. And I don't know how I kept doing it, but I did. And I met a friend of a friend who had left working in IT and was now working with a children's television programme on RTE. And that obviously piqued my interest. And I always say to people, the people say, it's all about luck, but you need to be in the right place at the right time. You have to be working in the right place to get the luck to see something. So I'd met Johnny McRae and he had said that he was doing this and I pummeled him for questions. And then I bumped into him one day. I was leaving 98FM after doing one of my free shifts or interning or whatever I'd been doing. And I bumped into him on the street and he said, I don't think children's television is for me. I think I want to have a radio show. Would you be interested in putting a demo together? So I said, yes, and we did. And I owe a lot to him because I'm still kind of bad now at if I email somebody or ask somebody for an opportunity, it's something I don't hear back. I'll often just back off and think, oh, I don't want to annoy them. He didn't care. He rang every radio station that we sent that demo to consistently until Spin 103.8 answered. And we worked there together for 7 years. And that was the start of it all.
Brilliant persistence, and I like that idea of just seeing you walking through town after a shift in the restaurant. Any of us that worked in the restaurant know how soul destroying can be, especially after a long day. But you kept going. And can you recall the first day when you the two of you turn on the microphone, and what was it like?
We started at the weekends. I don't think I can remember the first day. I mean, it's crazy that there are so many big moments in your life that you can't remember. I often think it with the kids, like, how can't I remember every second of them? And I suppose you just can't. But I do remember that time. I do remember going in on a Sunday and we'd pre-record a few interviews, and then we'd be sitting editing them. And that was just the most incredible place to work. I mean, that is one thing about working in radio and television. You obviously have a lot of big personalities, which is a really positive thing, really fun, energetic, feisty people to be around. So that was just a laugh a minute. I mean, we used to just do like office chair Olympics, dance offs. Like it was just like fun every single day you went in. And eventually, after 2 years on the weekend, we got the lunchtime talk show. And again, I don't remember the first day, but I just remember that just being the best thing. It just didn't feel like work. I would just skip in the door. We'd get to talk about the topics of the day, what people were talking about. It was all about call in, text in. And some days would be deeply moving. You could be talking about, there's some people that really stick in my head. We were talking about the death of a pet, and how they're a family member. And a guy rang in and, he sounded like a big kind of butch dub. And he said he'd got his dog cremated and he made a little area in the shed. And, none of his friends know, but he still goes in every day and sits with the dog in the shed. And, you just get this real insight into people's lives and souls, and people just bear them to us. I mean, there'd be huge referendums around fertility rights, women's rights. People would of note would die, and we just open the phone lines. And I loved that. And myself and Johnny were like a bickering married couple, but we were also the absolute best of friends. Like, he knew more. We spent more time together than we did with our own partners. So, we knew everything about each other. So it was just a really, really special time.
And you said a few things so far, and a lot of it goes back to this, to the people that you spend time with, and the sense of belonging. You mentioned that a couple of times, at the right place too. How important is that to you?
I just think that's huge. Like, a love of people is why I do what I do. I'm always interested in why people do what they do. What led you to that, and what made that decision? And I talk to people in bank queues. I make conversation in the post office. Like, I just constantly make conversation because I just love people. And I have, on a few occasions through my work with whatever it is, TV, radio, even, going into podcast studios now, it's just the characters you meet now, these larger than life characters. And that's not to say that, everyone has to be like that, but, it is nice to feed off that energy sometimes, and to be around that. And obviously through my work, either in radio or in Ireland AM, I've got to meet a lot of people, and I sort of see my job as being as a conduit, really, between the person in front of you and the audience. And, I like to put somebody at ease and let them tell their story. So I've been in a really lucky position to meet, experts, but also human interest stories, people who have had lived experience of all kinds of weird, wonderful, sad things. And yeah, I just adore that. I feel so, so lucky. It's I mean, it's work, but it doesn't feel like work.
Brilliant. Tell me about your second song, Claire. What are we talking about?
So my second song, I know the name of this one. It's called Follow the Sun by Xavier Rudd. And it's a kind of a wellness song, pops up a lot on, like, live your best life kind of social media reels. But it is a really positive one. It is one that you can stick on, and it will lift you. It will lift your spirit. So we recently on my radio show started playing a song at the end, and that was the first one I chose because, I thought it was a good way to kick off. So I popped it in here.
Sun, and which way the wind blows when this day is done. Breathe, breathe in the air, set your intentions, dream with care. Tomorrow's a new day for everyone.
And talking about wellness, so at the moment you're doing a number of things. You have your Alive and Kicking show. That's you gratefully asked me to come on. Well, I did ask you to come on, actually.
No,
you
but you're more
agreed to
than
have, yeah.
welcome.
Just remember, actually, I was me that asked you, Claire, any chance I can come on? So thank you for having me. I might ask you again. You can see from
Anytime,
experiences.
anytime. And in fact, my producer said, couldn't you just listen to that voice all day? And I said, yes, you could. So you're welcome. You're welcome, Andre.
Okay, brilliant. I'll come back. So, now we have it on record, so it's perfect. But no, jokes aside, that's a great show, and you're giving space to a lot of the wellness arena and what's going on. And you normally have 2 or 3 guests on the day. And tell me a bit more. What's going on? What are you doing at the moment? What do you like doing? At this stage of your career, which you've done all the hard work, doing the free stuff. You then had your own show, and you still have your own show. But what else are you doing? What's going on?
Well, I've reached a stage in my life now. I mean, I'm turning 46, which is hard for me to believe, next month. And I'm at a stage in my career now and in my life where I want for once to just be happy with where I am because I have been striving and setting up for 20 years. So from that 24-year-old who said, I'm going to go and chase this TV and radio thing. It was absolute go, go, go. Now, look, as I've just described, spin was, the best fun time. But an opportunity came up while I was doing that to cover a maternity leave on Ireland AM. And I had a toddler at home and I knew I was in the early stages of pregnancy. And somebody just said, you should go for that. And I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, and I didn't want to say I was pregnant. And I just thought, I don't know if now is the right time, but I decided to go for it. And of course, I got it when you least expect to. So that was a mad time. I used to get up at 4, go to Ireland AM, go on then to spin, leave spin, pick up my son, who was 1.5, come home. Bounce on the trampoline with him, make dinner. My husband would come in, and at story time for him, it would be story time for me as well. And I'd be trying to read my notes for the next day, and I would just conk out. And I did that for 8.5 months. And at the end of it, like I was almost burnt out. I mean, I really, really was. But I had my beautiful daughter, I had my maternity leave, I got back into radio, and at that time, my who had been the guy who had been my boss at Spin had become boss of all the radio stations. It was Communicore at the time; they're owned by Bauer now. But he said, "Look, I think there's opportunity for you elsewhere." And Johnny, my lovely friend, who's still one of my best friends, had gone down the science and technology route. He has a science show on News Talk now, and he had it then. And he said, "This is my niche. This is my thing. I'm going to go off and do that." And he set up a media training company. So I was so tired in the lead up of all that, that this was just before I went to maternity leave. I was like, okay, and obviously I would 100% support whatever he needed to do. But during my maternity leave, I said, well, where does that leave me? Am I going to go back to the show without him? At that stage, we'd done it for 5 years. And I mean, still to this day, if something happens that's out of the blue, I say, I wish I was on radio to talk about that. But we had pretty much covered every topic, every relationship topic. If I spoke about cyclists, and drivers, one more time, I had perhaps reached the end of the road. And look, maybe this is why I'm saying this. That was the type of striving mentality. I was in the what's next? What's next? Because sometimes I look back and go, why didn't you just go back to that blissful job connecting with people every single day? But I didn't. And I have no regrets. I went on. I worked in Today FM for a year. A lot of it was behind the scenes. I learned so much. I worked on so many different shows. And then I knew again, I had another time sitting at the desk there where I had covered a maternity leave. The girl had decided she wasn't going to come back. And they said, do you want to do this job permanently, Claire? And it was on the breakfast show, the Ian Dempsey breakfast show. Brilliant show. I mean, he is just top class at what he does, a brilliant team, people who are friends for life. But I knew in my gut that it wasn't for me. I knew I wanted to be Ian. I mean, I didn't want anything to happen to him, but I wanted to be on the mic. So I turned that down and thank God, the phone rang literally within a couple of days and somebody had left unexpectedly from Ireland AM. And I went back and I worked there on and off for another 3 to 4 years. But I was always covering in there. There was always somebody going somewhere. So I just had consistent work, but it wasn't mine. So I rang News Talk to see was there any cover going there. Because there's something about radio. There's something magical about radio that I always love. And that's when the health and well-being show was offered to me to audition for. And that's when I thought, well, why didn't I think of that? I love health and wellness. I've always got to lean into this, and I'll try any health and wellness endeavor. So I'm doing that 5 years now, and it's brought me on a really personal journey because it made me really rethink how I view health and wellness. I thought it was all about restricting your calories and punishing yourself in the gym, but I have been exposed to so many different ideals that I had to really put into practice everything that I was listening to. So I went back a year and a half ago and I trained as a health coach so that I would have a qualification, because all of my work now seems to be around health and well-being. And yeah, I just love that. So to answer your question, now I'm trying to just say, let's just be happy here. Let's just be content and happy with what I have. I also now have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. That's happened overnight, seemingly. I've gone from 36 to 46 in 10 minutes. I just want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy my lovely marriage. I want to enjoy my lovely life that I have created. So I'm still ambitious. I still love my work and, feel I've a lot more to give, but I'm really trying to focus on being happy now.
Wonderful, and you're still extremely young, so you'll be fine. But in terms of in terms of health coach, what does a health coach do there?
So a health coach looks at your lifestyle. So I had heard about the course. I don't know if you're familiar with Jerry and Miriam Hussey. They run Soul Space, and Miriam Hussey was a pharmacist. And when I interviewed them together as a couple first, which is why I mentioned them in that way. And she was talking about working in the pharmacy and getting so frustrated with giving out the same prescription to the same people for the same illness. And she thought there has to be more. So she went and did this course in a place called the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York. So that was my first spark of it. And I did look into it, and it was quite expensive. And I just thought, no, I don't have time and I don't have the money. And maybe that was true with where my kids were at and stuff. But cut to, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, my friend Georgie Crawford, who I had worked with in Spin, who has the Good Glow podcast, she went and did it. I said to her one day, we either met for a coffee or a swim, or maybe we were just texting it. I said, I just feel a bit stuck lately. And she said, you need to do this course. And I was like, geez, this course, here it is again. And this time I just found they had a payment plan and I just made time. And because I enjoyed it, I just did it. And they're really at pains to say, there's no point in starting with what's on the plate until you look at all the other areas of your life. So they actually call it primary and secondary food. So secondary food is what's on the plate. And obviously they do focus a lot on nutrition. But they're not tied to any one way. You learn about everything from veganism to keto to, you hear from farmers, you hear from everybody. But a health coach will help you to look at the different areas of your lifestyle, from your careers to your relationships, to your spirituality, to joy. There's all these different segments of your life that they suggest you would look at until you go anywhere near what you're eating and what you're doing. And that really spoke to me. And something else they kept saying, because I often thought, God, could I coach people? And is that I wanted it as a qualification, but as it goes on, they talk to you so much more about coaching, and actually coaching people one on one. But they just kept saying, everybody knows what they need to do. They just need someone to hold space for them to explore it and to hold them accountable. And that was quite empowering as well.
Very good. That is kind of the essence of coaching, really, is to give that space and to allow for the answers to come out and the insights that we always talk about. That's fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant. Tell me about your last song.
So my last song is a song for my dad. My dad gave me my love of music. He was always listening to music. He was always singing. We had music in the car on the way to school every day. I used to give out to him, because you'd say something to him and he'd sort of sing it back to you. You know, whatever you said was, "Dad, I need to bring money to school tomorrow." He would be like, "Bring the money to school tomorrow," walking around. And I used to say to him, "Dad, if I come home and tell you I'm pregnant, you're just going to sing. Baby is on the way," and we laughed. That used to kind of be quite an in joke because that's what he was like. So Jim Croce is somebody that he loved. And Time in a Bottle is the song, and it kind of feeds into what I said. And look, I am trying as well. I'm aware that at 36, I thought I was old, and at 26, I thought I was old. So I don't really like to say that or feel that there's any time running out, but I suppose it's a different era. But if I could put time in a bottle, it is quite apt, and that's the song I've chosen.
What was your dad's name?
Pat McKenna. Patrick Joseph McKenna.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with
Claire,
you.
we're coming close to the end, and we can talk forever, and we probably will talk forever. Next time we meet without a microphone, we'll carry on this conversation. But I just love everything you said to me, and for a number of reasons. Mostly because of this, the passion turns into a job, and the job turns into a passion, and then it develops, and then it's not just a sense of belonging that's coming through; it's that self-awareness. It perhaps started way before the IT company that had the team coach, the team spirit, and all of that. But perhaps it started before there. Perhaps that was what brought it out. But that self-awareness is just lovely to hear, and I love to hear the way you just, talking to people in the queue and the supermarket, wherever it may be. Where do you see yourself going now with everything you're doing? Where is the time? You have your kids growing very fast. They do grow very fast, unfortunately. Where is the time be spent in the next few years? Where would you like to spend it?
So we are in the process of looking to build a house next door to my mum. So I'm really looking forward to that, because, we again, it was another dream that I just kind of jumped on, and we moved out of our house that we were renting back into the original house we bought and outgrew, sold that, and moved back here. All our stuff is in storage. And look, my mum's amazing. I mentioned my dad died, so I know time is precious, and I'm enjoying that. But I'm looking forward to having our own space back. And the same year that my dad died, a few months later, my sister moved to America with her three kids. That was a massive change. And since then, my brother has moved to France. So I'm quite aware that we're moving into a different chapter, and my mum is in amazing health. But yeah, I'm really hoping that that comes together, that we're going to be living next door. We can look after my mum. And I saw somebody that I follow online. She's a good friend, Jennifer Rock, and she had her son quite young. So, he is now, he looks to me to be about 20, and she shares a lot of the two of them out for dinner. And she came on Instagram last night and said a lot of people are saying, "How have you cultivated this relationship with your son?" And she said, "I just think we have to not." She said a lot of things, but one that really grabbed me was, "I just think instead of wishing that they wouldn't grow up, help them become the best adults that they can be." And I am looking forward to doing that with my kids too. I'm looking forward to that chapter and watching them unfold. And because of my experience fighting with my parents during that time, and that being a turbulent time, I'm not saying we're never going to fight, but I am determined that I'm going to give them the freedom, as difficult as it is. I'm going to let them fly their wings, spread their wings a little bit. So yeah, on a personal level, I'm looking forward to that. On a professional level, I just hope I get to keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, I go to events I'm hosting or into my radio show, and I say to myself all the time, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to do this. So I've set up a business called Nourish Yourself, because that journey I went on with my health and well-being, of flipping it from being punishing to something a lot more nourishing, I want to share that with people and some of the things I learned on my course. So, I have online courses. I hope to hold more events. I love meeting people that listen to the show, and I've done a few hikes and things like that. I'd love to do that. I'd love to do more shows where I bring people together, because I still think of me and the audience listening to that kind of empowering information. So I'd love to host and be more a part of events like that. So yeah, I still have lots of plans, but really staying happy in the now and grateful for all that I have.
Fantastic. And do you sing back to your kids when they ask you something?
No, I actually don't, but we do have a lot of music going on, and we have, like, in the car you can choose a song each on Spotify, and it's so funny when your kids, like, think all your music choices are just terrible. I'm like, what do you think of this and what do you think of that, and they're just like, nah. But yeah, music is still a big part of our lives, and I hope it will continue to be so.
Well, Claire, as I say, I could be talking to you forever, but I think you were very grateful with your time and with your sharing your story, which is fascinating, and love to have you on. And you can come back anytime. Like, I will come back to your show.
You can come back anytime. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I could, look, talk for Ireland. So, yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Shining like a sunny day.